stolen by Frazier. Down the line with the photo, but it's good!
Now has starts for Ewing. Ewing with the spin. Ewing, yes! Quick spin move from Anthony. Counted and one.
How's everybody doing? Welcome to the new episode of the Knicks Fancast. I'm Anthony.
What's up, everybody? I'm Bruno. Welcome back.
And so we're going to be talking about the Knicks, as usual, and this, as per usual.
This exciting road trip that we just wrapped up.
Exciting, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know about exciting. Exciting for the teams that played us, I guess.
Yeah, that was really dull basketball.
Definitely the Blazers' best win of the year.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, come on. 15 points. I mean, we lost every game by double digits except for the one that we won.
Yeah, we really had a tough time out there without Melo and Chandler. We kind of knew. I mean, they hit us. These injuries kind of hit us at a tough point. This was probably the toughest stretch that we had so far, you know, closing out the season. And, yeah, it really showed out there because we had nobody that was able to really take over the game, to score, to be the leader, to, you know,
yeah, injuries happen, you know. Injuries happen, and especially when our big three are down. I mean, 60-something percent of our salary cap was watching this road trip instead of playing in it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hurt, though, I don't expect you to go out and play like Melo did against the Nuggets. I mean, I don't know if that was a pride thing or what, but he shouldn't have played that game at all.
I think he was kind of just testing out his knee, seeing what he would be able to do. And, you know, I think he realized he wasn't out there doing 100%. So he felt he needed to just, you know, take a leave.
Speaking of which, the Nuggets are looking great. I mean, the trade, I guess, looks way more in their favor after watching that game.
Yeah, they're sharp right now. 13 wins in a row. They beat the Thunder last night.
13 in a row. No one's talking about them because of the Heat win streak going on, but the Nuggets are looking real good.
Yeah, they play real fast. And I remember last week when we were discussing, we recorded right before the game, and we discussed, you know, how, if the Nuggets start racing up and down the court and scoring, what can the Knicks do to slow them down? And
they can't. That's exactly what they did, and pretty much we couldn't slow them down at all. It was just a disaster.
Now Chandler played that game. That's where he got hurt. He bumped knees with Corey Brewer or Ronnie Brewer. I always confuse those guys. But Fareed.
Kenneth
Fareed was a beast on the rebound, and he would not let anybody.
That dude has ups, man.
That's the thing. He has crazy ups
there.
He would not let anybody touch the ball. Offensive rebounds, they just dominated on that.
It's like he has a trampoline under him at all times.
He just plays with such high energy, and you know, with the Knicks being the oldest team on the floor, they just had no answer for Kenneth Fareed, and I thought that really hurt us, and you know. You get the rebound, they start running the fast breaks, and we have nobody that can A, keep up, or B, is athletic enough to defend.
Yeah, it's like our defense was non-existent that whole game. It was just ridiculous. The Nuggets are looking real good, real good.
What do you think of Melo getting booed? He got booed hard.
That was expected. I could have told you that. I mean, I don't think they're too happy about him leaving, but I mean, they got the last laugh in that one. I think that might have been affecting his game a little bit too, because I mean we've talked in the past before about how emotional he is, and I mean that game after he got booed, and then he starts playing bad, and he's dealing with an injury. I mean, all that combined, it's just not a good thing.
And they were booing him every time he touched the ball.
Every time
they were, the ball.
And then when he went out, they were chanting, "Where's Melo?" They wanted him to come back just to boo him some more. Yeah, so that I mean that definitely got in his head, but you can't let that get to you. I mean, we know you're dealing with an injury. Obviously, if it's bothering you, you shouldn't be playing.
Yeah. Yeah, but I, you know, the Nuggets, they're a hot team. They're beating everyone today, it seems like. So I knew that was going to be a tough match. I knew we were likely not going to win that match. I thought our best chance this week was sneaking a win against the Blazers and the Utah Jazz, which we did against the latter, but I don't know how the Blazers.
Yeah, even the Blazers. I mean, yeah, they beat us. They just flat out beat us. I mean, we didn't have any of our stars either, but what are you going to do? I mean, I know in the beginning of the year, everyone's talking about how good the Knicks bench is and how they're so deep. It doesn't look so deep right now. I mean, other than J.R. Smith, who really coming off the bench is that good? I mean, Amari was, but he's out. He's out for the regular season. hopefully he makes it back for the playoffs, but I wouldn't even trust him to play more than 15 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to have to ease him back in. I don't know how sensitive those knees are, but he has issue with both of them, so it's a serious issue. The only guy I see out there that has potential to affect the team in a positive way is Copeland.
Copeland, yeah. I mean, he plays good. He knows how to get – he's a good scorer. He's a good scorer.
Yeah,
but
he can score the basketball.
He's not a great defender.
He's a horrible defender.
He has been starting in the past couple games, and he's been playing pretty good. You see against the Jazz what he did. I mean, he put some moves on, and he scored some buckets in the paint.
Yeah.
Felton had a good game that game too. It's good to see Felton hit his shots.
Felton not only hit his shots, but he's more effective when he attacks the paint. You know, and that's kind of what I wish he did more, because we don't have a lot of guys that can do that when Melo's not playing. So he and JR, they like to take jumpers, and they take way too many jumpers. And I don't understand how, when the media and the fans see that they're taking too many jump shots, how it doesn't come up in like practice or, you know, during the games. I don't understand that.
Yeah, you got to drive to the hoop. You got to create. You got to get the open man. Take defense off their step, get the open man to take a high percentage shot, and that's what they should be doing instead of taking these one-on-one jump shots.
Yeah, there's way too much isolation going on with the Knicks, and you see it hasn't really worked. I think we're the number two team in the NBA with isolation possessions, but we're not the number one scoring team, or we're not using it effectively because we're more effective when we pass the ball and we get open looks and we play in a rhythm that we just haven't been doing.
So 16 games left in the season. I'm honestly not liking the way we're falling apart at the end. I guess the age is really catching up to us towards this end of the season. So what do you think? Are you worried? Are you confident? How far do you think the Knicks have a good chance of getting in the playoffs?
I think they can definitely be a round two team, and then they'll get bounced.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be a pessimistic or anything.
I'm just being realistic, you know. I mean, it's not looking good when you lose to the Blazers and you lose a four-game road trip. Not good.
But you have to consider, against the Blazers, we had nobody out there, and it was the Knicks' first game without their player there, without Melo and without Chandler.
Right, but those are the only two. I mean, how much of a difference is Chandler and Melo going to make in the playoffs? I mean, that was the Blazers, though. I mean, it's still the Blazers. So you're telling me that against a good team, you're going to need Chandler and Melo, and that's going to make that much of a difference?
I think so, because when you lose your stars, that first game back, that first game where those guys are gone, I think you don't have a lot of confidence, because you have to start guys like Copeland and Martin, the fucking Kurt Flirt. When you have to start guys like that, I don't think they go out there with confidence, because they know they're going to play extended minutes. They're going to have that responsibility on their shoulders. So I think there's a lot of pressure. So the first game I can kind of forgive until they kind of learn to gel together.
The biggest problem is the age. I mean, you relied on Kurt Thomas too much against the Jazz, and look what happened to him. I mean, now all of a sudden
now
he has a stretch
dead.
Fracture. Yeah, he's a stretch fracture in his foot. He probably won't be back the rest of his regular season. If he does come back, it's going to be in the playoffs. And who knows how long that playoff trip is going to be for us. I mean, we're expecting all these players back, but before they know it, we might be getting bounced out by then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about Kurt Thomas. I feel like he took a bullet for the team while Melo and Chandler were out, and now he's out 2 to 4 weeks or whatever.
It's just how many minutes are we going to play Cammy now? He's the tallest player we got on our active lineup. We're starting Kenyon Martin right now, who's playing amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they got him. I feel like they should have got him in the beginning of the season.
He's proven himself, because he's effective on defense, and he's like pretty athletic for a 35-year-old.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's not bad at all on offense either. I mean, I've seen him. He has a good vision, and he can dunk the ball. I mean, he can still get
big
up there, and he gets those putbacks in, which is huge. Those offensive rebound putbacks.
He just had a nice little alley-oop that,
tonight against the Magic.
Against the Magic, I just saw on the screen. We're watching the Magic game right now as we speak during the third quarter, I think.
Yeah, it's good to see them pull away with a double-digit lead against one of the worst teams in the NBA, if not the worst. No, well,
they're
Bobcats
pretty
are the worst. Yeah, they're down there. I know that.
Bobcats are the champs of that. The champions.
That's a good one.
But yeah, I like Kenyon Martin. He brings a lot of energy to the team. Long term, I don't think he's I don't want him past this year.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, we got to get rid of a lot of this age next year. I mean, it's one thing to have a veteran, but it's another thing to have, you know, the whole AARP on your bench.
Yeah, but he's a good Band-Aid right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially
with Amari going down, he fills that slot perfectly. Obviously, he's not as talented, but he's a good Band-Aid.
I mean, it would be good to see Amari back in time for the playoffs. But, yeah, like you said, if he's not, we do have Kenyon Martin, and he's been a nice little surprise for the Knicks.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's not a difference maker. I got to say I'm disappointed. You know, I'm not disappointed because the Knicks season is better than what I hoped. But when you look at the past 42 games and you see that the Knicks went 21-21 over the past 42 games, you know, that's more than half the season. You can't feel too good about that. I mean, if it wasn't for that 18-5 run that we started the season off with, where would the Knicks be right now? Would we even be in the playoffs?
Well, we'd be about a seventh seed, probably.
Seventh seed? Yeah, but, you know.
Which is bad because we need that home court advantage.
Absolutely. I mean, the Knicks' point, the whole thing about going into this year was to win the division. And even that's not looking like a lock anymore. I mean, it was in the beginning. And the Nets are kind of pulling back now. And we're hanging on to that third seed. But we got to get these wins against bad teams. And we can't go on these losing streaks anymore.
Yeah, and I feel like every time we play a contender-type team, that they kind of fold. They don't get those wins anymore like they were in the beginning of the season, like that comeback win against the Spurs in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, those two blowouts against the Heat.
Against the Heat, right. We're not getting those type of high-caliber wins anymore. We kind of fold. So we have a big matchup coming up.
It's a couple, actually. The rest
next week against Boston is our first.
We still play Boston challenge. Twice, actually. And we still have a couple of tough ones ahead of us. It's not over yet. There's 16 games left, and you know, we play the Raptors twice. We play the Grizzlies. We play the Celtics twice. We play the Heat. We play the Hawks.
Not the Bucks. I'm sorry. I play the Bobcats twice.
Well, okay, good. Because that kind of evens that out a little bit. Law of averages, I guess. We still play the Heat again.
We still play Chicago, who was a potential first-round matchup. And I talk to, you know, a lot of my friends and Knicks fans, and I read a lot of comments online. A lot of Knicks fans don't want to face that Bulls team in the first round.
No, I don't. I don't either.
Something about that squad.
You know, Derrick Rose is coming back soon, and who knows how good they're going to be if they're as this good right now without him. With Derrick Rose, they're just going to be that much better.
Yeah.
And you think the Knicks can really? I don't know how Derrick Rose is going to come back from the injury, but if he's anything like he used to be, I don't think the Knicks stand a chance at guarding him.
I think he's going to be better than people think he is. I think he's been ready to play for a while, and they've just been getting him like super ready.
Yeah.
So when he comes back, he's 100% and he can play 36 minutes.
They don't need him right now. They're in a good spot in the playoffs. They're in the middle of the pack.
They're in the bunch. They can potentially sneak to that fifth or fourth seed.
Tell you what though, I don't want to play the Celtics either, man. I saw the Celtics play the Heat.
Oh no, you don't want to play the Celtics.
I saw the Celtics play the Heat the other day without Kevin Garnett. And they still put up a hell of a fight.
They play better against better teams.
I think their bench is pretty deep too. They do play better against better teams, and especially the Knicks.
Yeah, they come out for those games. And that Perkins for Green trade that they pulled 2 years ago was finally paying off.
Oh, yeah, you definitely see that now. I mean,
now you see, you know, the potential that he showed 2 years ago, now you kind of see that come to fruition.
Yeah, I think he went for 42 points on Monday against the Heat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no walk in the park.
No, he's kind of the guy they need. They need a wing scorer. He's young, he's athletic, he can score from, you know, potentially anywhere, and he's improving. So, you know, Celtics really needed that guy. That's why they traded for him, but, you know.
Right, and I think that it's looking good for them now. That's one of the reasons why I don't want to play them, because their bench, you know, Avery Bradley, they got what were we just talking
Jason
about?
Jason Terry.
They got Raylan.
Brandon Bass. They got a decent squad. They remind me of like the Spurs because they have those old veterans that when they get new talent in, those guys, the new guys get in line.
Yeah.
And they play that system and they play it effectively.
And it seems like those guys are developing before our very eyes without us even realizing it.
Yeah.
Because we're so focused on the Garnett and the Paul Pierce of that team.
Yeah. And those guys, you know, their numbers are constantly declining as they get older. But
John Rondo.
People really respect that system, and you kind of have to when you go into a team that has, you know, KG and Paul Pierce, not only champions but Hall of Famers.
Yeah, so hopefully, like we said, we don't get them in the playoffs first round because that's going to be a tough series. And I would like to get out of the first round, to be honest. Like I said before, I think the Hawks are our best chance. because we're obviously not going to get the Bucks. They're going to finish in eighth, and the Heat are going to play them. I like our chances against the Hawks and even the Nets. I don't think the Nets are too deep. They have a couple of big guys, you know. They got Darren Williams. They got Brooke Lopez.
I don't think we're going to see the Nets only because Nets are either going to finish third or fourth, and we're going to finish either third or fourth. I think that's how that's going
to
end.
Yeah. Well, we don't want them to get that division title either because we want that home court.
Yeah. So, I mean, we would still get home court against the fifth seed if we finished fourth. We just wouldn't get the division title, which, you know, I kind of want. Cause
that was one of the goals coming into the season. Yeah, we haven't had one of those in a while.
But yeah, that's my concern right now is that Brooklyn, they've been playing better than us, at least more consistent, and we don't play them anymore. So there's not that significant game that if we win, we kind of knock them back a bit. We don't have that advantage.
We actually play them very early, too many times. I wish that was kind of spread out more.
Yeah, just so we can get this kind of drama at the end of the season. But we have that with Boston. We play them twice.
Yeah, look at the Raptors. I mean, we play them, what, twice in February? Like one game apart, too? And now we're playing them against Friday and Saturday? I don't know. I don't get this NBA scheduling. I really don't.
Yeah, they kind of have fun with it, I guess. But yeah, I do wish we played Brooklyn just toward the end of the season. Just because, you know, these games are the drama is so heightened now. But I am worried about Brooklyn potentially creeping up and stealing that division title and that third seed, which I actually wouldn't mind because if we finish fourth, we play the Heat in the second round. And it's kind of like, look, if we're going to do anything in these playoffs, yeah, okay, I want to get past round one, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Give me the Heat. I'll play him.
Yeah.
Just like last season, I wanted to play the Heat. I felt like we could beat them. We got destroyed. We did win that one game.
Yeah, that was a great game too. And I think the Knicks team is better than what we were last year. But we do need our injured players to come back. We need Chandler back. Chandler has that bulging neck injury. He's supposed to be out another week.
Yeah, where do you get that from? Like
being too tall, I guess. I have no idea.
It's the duck going down the corridor.
But we do need Chandler. I mean, he's our best. He's our tallest player. He's our best defender in the paint.
I think he's our most important player.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't want him to rush back. We need him for the playoffs. We need him 100% from the playoffs. We don't want him to be shaky and, you know, exaggerate an injury. Even though the injury isn't too serious, and I think a week's time is more than enough. You know, we want to err on the side of caution here.
Yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, he's our defensive anchor, and he can afford to take a few games off now because we play, you know, Magic and Toronto. But we do get busy next week, so I think he's probably aiming to come back for that Celtics game. Is that Celtics game at home or away?
The first one's away, and then I think we play them the following week at home.
I would love to have him back for that. We actually play them, that Sunday, that same week. So we play them twice that week.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean about this Tuesday, NBA scheduling.
Tuesday and Sunday. So that Sunday game's going to... Oh, wait, that Sunday game's a 7:30 game. That's weird. I wish it was like the 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it should still be a good game, and it's still going to be entertaining. Yeah, I wish it was 1, too, so, you know, I could enjoy it more.
Yeah, get lunch and some beers.
Yeah.
Watch the game. Yeah, and we also got Memphis in there. I think we're overlooking them a little bit just because they're a Western Conference team and they don't have big names, but they're going to be a problem.
Yeah, they started off right with us as one of the best teams.
Yeah.
But I think they kind of fell off, too, after they traded away Rudy Gay.
No, they gotten better.
They've gotten better? They've
like
had a better record?
6.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, Rudy Gay, I guess, is the most consistent shooter, but wow, I guess
sometimes it's just a matter of you know, things not fitting in. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they have a lot of good shooters on that team. I mean, they don't...
And they got better defensively with Tayshaun Prince, who doesn't need the ball, you know, obviously doesn't need the ball nearly as much, and he can just focus on playing defense.
Right.
They're playing well with the two bigs in the middle there. They got a good squad. So that's gonna be a tough two game stretch. We play those back to back, and then we kinda get a breather against the Bobcats.
Hopefully. I mean, we have lost to pretty bad teams this year, so let's not say anything.
Yeah, and given our health history, who knows who's gonna be out for those games.
Yeah, and hopefully nothing gets even worse than what it is. I mean, knock on wood, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it looks like the Knicks are closing out Orlando as we speak. They got about a 12-point win, 15-point win back at the Garden.
Yeah, it's good to see that after coming off a couple of bad losses. It's good to see them beat a bad team like they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And it's good to see Melo back, too.
Yeah, very good to see Melo back. Let's see how he played tonight.
Yeah, 21 points. He shot 50%.
Good.
He wasn't too trigger happy, which is good. But the most important thing is that we got the win. And no one got hurt.
And no one got hurt, right. So what do you think about beyond this season, you know, thinking summertime next year?
I'm worried, honestly. I'm worried that a lot of our salary cap is tied up in injured players, namely Amari, who I don't think is going to get much healthier in the coming years. Not only that, but we got Cammy. We're still paying for another 2 years. We're still paying Kidd for another 2 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen with those guys. They, I'm sure they'll just retire, and then we'll pay them outside of the salary cap restrictions.
Yeah, but it's still going to affect their salary cap, which is unfortunate. I mean, it doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room to sign some new prospects, unless we get lucky in the draft. But
no,
how often does
not.
That come around?
Yeah, we're not going to get lucky in the draft. yeah,
no more
I mean,
Jeremy Lin's.
Honestly, I'd be willing to trade anybody on this team. The only guy I'd really like to keep is Tyson Chandler. I feel he's the only guy that is out there every night giving 110% when other guys, you know, they take games off or they just kind of play isolation, do their own thing.
Yeah. Looking at the salary cap, I mean, like you said, Tyson Chandler, I think he's the only one that really deserves his money. And, you know, Chumpert, we're only paying Chumpert 1.6 to 2 mil around there. He definitely deserves that. We still got him on the rookie contract. So, you know, that's kind of a steal too.
Yeah. Having him at that payroll you know, that's a huge advantage for the Knicks.
What do you think about JR? You think he's worth signing next year?
No.
No?
I don't like him as a player. I'm not a big fan of his.
We're going to need some new kind of spark of offense off the bench then.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if he was the guy that played those first 4 weeks for us, you know, that I remember reading in the papers, you know, he's not going out anymore. He's taking his game seriously. He's not shooting reckless. But now I don't know if he's going out or not, but he's definitely shooting reckless.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, he's always it's hard to drill that out of him.
Yeah, that's the type of player he is, and that's the type of player I don't want on my team, especially a team that's led by Carmelo, because Carmelo is not the type of guy that's going to reinforce a certain way to play. He's not that leader.
Yeah.
So I think we need an outspoken leader, and I don't think Melo's that guy. I'd be willing to trade Melo, you know, for a Chris Paul or, you know, someone like, you know, as talented as he is, but that can take it to the next level as far as being a team leader and being able to build around. I don't know if Melo has a brilliant, beautiful game. I think he's limited. I don't think he's a champion.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot. We need to make a lot of different changes to this team if we're going to have a chance for the championship in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Because I only see this team getting worse and older.
Yeah, I mean, the way we started off, and we keep bringing this up because it was such a beautiful month and a half of basketball that we were all witnessing. To have that throughout a season, you know, obviously would be fantastic.
Right, but with one of the teams that are the oldest in the league, it's not very likely, and we've seen that.
Do you think the Melo and Amari situation will ever work out? Because, you know, going into the summer, they're going to try to figure out a way to get those two guys to start to play simultaneously together in an effective way.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to come down to, I mean, we've seen Amari. We've never thought Amari would come off the bench and be as effective as he was. And I'm not saying he had a bad year and, but the injury, the knee problems are just going to get worse, and he's just going to get worse. And I think they should stick with what they're doing this year and just keep him off the floor at the same time.
Do you think that hurts Mike Woodson's credibility that he wasn't able to get these two guys to play together?
Well, no. Woodson did what he had to do. I mean, he took over and he took a Knick team to one of the best years they've had in over 10 years. So you can't really put the blame on Woodson. The problem is the talent, I think, that we have, and it's not they're not championship caliber.
They're not mature players. I was watching, and we were just praising Kenyon Martin, but he's another guy I can't wait to get rid of next season. Not because he's a bad player, he's just a bad mentality player. I was just listening to a post-game interview a couple of games ago against, it was actually against the Clippers, and they asked him, what do you think of something in regards to, what do you think of the team taking so many bad shots? And he says, well, it's not my responsibility to judge who's taking good shots or bad shots. And I was like, you know, really, that should be, you should be worried about things like that, because ultimately you got beat tonight and it was because you guys took horrible shots.
Yeah,
and
but
you,
at the
and
same
you're not
time,
holding each other accountable.
He doesn't want to throw anybody on the bus, and I understand that. He just, I mean, he just got signed to the team. He doesn't want to be pointing any fingers.
But
as
he could
of
say
yet.
Something like, yeah, we didn't take great shots tonight. That's something that we need to improve on. You can't just, when you dismiss it,
yeah, it seems like you don't really care
like
about
it.
It
seems like you don't care.
Yeah, and that's not something you want to hear from one of our players either.
Yeah, and it's...
You want to have the winning mentality all the time.
Yeah, it's attitudes like that that I think they define a player over talent when you're talking about ultimately winning. You know, you can win 50 games. A lot of teams win 50 games. Not a lot of teams win titles.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we need to get a more mature roster that is more competitive, wants to win every game. And I don't know, maybe a new head coach. I really like what Woodson did. He came in with an incredible record from last season, continued it early this season, but then I think maybe the players stopped listening to him. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say that. I mean, the guy, the longest losing streak he's had in his Knicks head coach career is only like, what, 5 games? And I think we're judging him too harshly in that. He took over for D'Antoni, and he did a great job. I think he did better than what D'Antoni could have done.
Yeah, well, D'Antoni was never built. This team was never built to play in D'Antoni's system. I think I liked him as a coach. I thought prior to the Melo deal, I thought that young Knicks team was playing very well against him. I think at one point we had 13-game winning streak, and Amari had a ridiculous streak of 30-plus points per
game. Yeah, I remember that.
He broke a Knicks record or something.
Yeah, that's pretty much the Nuggets team now, minus Amari.
Yeah, they were playing really well. I think, and you know, I was thinking about the head coaching position, and I think that Stan Van Gundy might be a really good option.
Yeah, you think so? You think we have a chance of getting him?
Well, he's not doing anything right now, and right. ESPN refused to hire him because I think NBA put the kibosh on that.
I think it's going to be hard to get rid of Woodson after you know, accomplishing what he set out to do in terms of winning the division and getting the team to the playoffs as a high seed.
I think if he gets us to the second round, I think we'll definitely keep him.
I think so, too. I mean, I don't think that's a complete failure. I mean, no one's going to do anything.
I think
the Heat are going to go all
the way. I think
anyway.
Round two is a successful
season. You don't want to see him get blown out round two either, but, you know, the fact that they get to round two is good enough for me. I mean, I want more, obviously, but we also have to think about the past, you know, 10 to 15 years where the Knicks haven't even been this close.
Yeah, and you kind of have to be realistic about the capabilities of your opponents. Miami Heat, I think, in the Eastern Conference, there's zero chance that the Knicks or anyone else will beat them. When they're playing at their top of the game, they're just defensively, they're just on you. You know, they just they make the switches. They're just really, really effective at stopping the passing game, stopping you in the paint. Even though they're kind of small, they're just fast and athletic.
They just want the win. They play to win, and they don't let anything get in the way. Today, they actually play the Cavaliers, and they were down 30-something points. At one point, actually at halftime, they were down, you know,
20-something,
and then they were almost down by 30 at one point. They came back, and currently they're winning right now. I don't know how it's going to finish, but they're winning comfortably. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. So if we do get, if you know, we get past the first round of the playoffs, I'll be very happy with that, considering, you know, the injuries, how the team's been not playing so great as of late. I don't expect them to just suddenly turn it on and be that team that we were. I think that team's gone. Looking at what we have now, yeah, second round defeat to Miami, or maybe we might be able to get past Indiana.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. We'd have a better chance at Indiana, absolutely.
Oh, for sure. Depending on, you know, the play of Paul George, I think their playoffs are going to come down to that.
Yeah, and you know what? The Eastern Conference is so up in the air. It's hard to predict where we're going to be and who we're going to play so far. I mean, we know we're not going to get the first spot. We're not going to fall out of the playoffs either. That's about as sure as I could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, we'll be fine. I think the Knicks just want to get their guys healthy. So they can begin, you know, practicing and getting ready for the playoffs, because it's not going to be easy. That first round might actually give us a break if we get, you know, if we get Atlanta or something.
Yeah, and, if we could take, you know, if we could take it to a 5-game series and beat them in 5 or even 6, I think that'd be strides to towards us advancing to the next round and being healthy and getting in shape and in rest.
Yeah, and just playing better ball, man. Pass the ball.
Yeah.
Pass the ball. Yeah, they don't do that. And I was actually reading something, and it said, you know, a potential reason as to why the Knicks are the number one teams in turnovers is because, in, you know, not creating turnovers, is because they play too much isolation. When you play isolation, you just take bad shots. You don't. There's no chance to turn the ball over, really, because you're not passing the ball.
Right.
So that could be one of the reasons why we lead the league in the turnovers. But, you know, Mike Woodson also led the league in turnovers when he was coaching Atlanta, so it has a lot to do with him, too, so give him credit for that. So that's where we're going to end the show this week. We'll try to be back early next week and cover more Knicks basketball. Maybe we'll do a show right before the Boston game or right after the Boston game.
It's going to be an interesting couple days coming up and a couple good games.
Yeah, I'll come back with, hopefully Chandler will be back by then, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Take it easy.